He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
How are you on this fine day? This is a fine day in June. This is He Said, She Said, SNU.
Had a wonderful dinner at our friend's house last night, and beautiful meal we had, lots of laughs. You were the one that initiated the dancing, which I was really surprised. And I was drinking bourbon Caesars, and I wasn't expecting it to taste like that, but not quite my drink, I'll have you
know. Yeah, that was fun, and it's good to get out and hang out with friends, and especially when they happen to live on a beautiful estate surrounded by orchards and an incredible view as the sun was setting, and we got into the twilight and was just completely awesome. Just love living here in the Okanagan. It's just so beautiful.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
So what's cooking?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, what's cooking, because that goes into friends. We've met a really wonderful group of friends here in Vernon, a lot of couples, and they have lots of potluck parties. So we are busy. We could be busy every night of the week here. And what do they want me to bring? They always want me to bring a salad. So I call this my go-to salad. The reason I call it my go-to salad is because every time I take it to a party, it's a winner. It's simple, easy peasy. I get so many compliments on it. It's tart, it's sweet, it's crunchy, it's smooth, it's refreshing and hydrating in each forkful. And it's funny because we do different courses. When everybody's on the salad course, this is so good. Everybody around the table is saying that, which is really nice.
Well, you know, so, I just want to make a comment. I want to make a comment on that very thing, because what I experienced last night, and you as well, remember, he had problems with the lamb, and so it was delayed. And I was trying to tell these guys, look, bring out a small amount of food. When we got these groups of people, it's very much like Europeans and the French are famous and the Italians. Bring out a small amount, like one course, and let's eat that and take our time and then bring out the next. But I find that when they bring it all out at one time, that everyone overeats, and I just can't eat that much, and I end up having a very small amount of it. But I can eat way more without feeling that huge sense of fullness if it's done.
Right, I brought the shrimp appetizer, and then I brought the salad, so we had that. And it was getting later in the evening. It was about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then we move into the next courses. But this one is, I just use super simple, super fast, one of those box salads that's pre-washed, organic, and you can use any type of the green. Then I cube up some fresh papaya and cube up some fresh green apple. And then I have the walnuts or pumpkin seeds. I like the walnuts, the crunchy, or you can use pecans. And if you know that people are allergic to the nuts and all that, then don't put that in. And I use currants, or I use the dried cranberries. And then I use that cut-up avocado and crumble some goat's cheese on it with a tahini dressing. Now, the tahini dressing is on the website, but it's olive oil, lemon, fresh lemon juice, garlic, tahini, and honey. And then I shake it up. Shake it up. But as you can see, that papaya is really refreshing. The green apple is a tart. You get the crunch from the walnuts and the sweetness from dried cranberries or the currants and that smoothness from the avocado and the goat feta cheese. On each layer or on each leaf of the salad, you get all this on, and it's just so good. So try that. You could do a honey mustard dressing or the tahini dressing. That's about the hardest thing that you have to do, the most time consuming, is make the dressing. Big bowl of it, there's never any left. I never even get any for myself half the time.
Yeah, last night I was watching people's response. You know, like I know what to expect because I've had it before and it's delicious. And so you're just sort of waiting and watching how they respond. And they're just amazed because when you put that salad that you made last night on the plate, it looks like there's almost no dressing on it. It's just a very tiny, thin layer. And it looks kind of plain. It looks like there's chunks of celery and you're wondering, is this going to taste good or not? But anyway, the idea of having a salad first, we can't stress that enough. That is like that salad last night was like a meal. I comment, this is like a meal, like with the walnuts or whatever you put in there. They're pretty heavy, right? And the avocado and all that. So,
yeah.
But you got to take your time eating. And I think one of the reasons people struggle with obesity and excess fat is because they're in a hurry to eat and they eat way too much at one time. They're not taking enough time just to simply relax and eat their food.
Which is very important, to sit down and relax and eat. Right? That's really, again, it goes back to what we're going to be talking about in the hot topic about relaxation, and the reason we are ill is because we are never still. Instead of running around eating and standing up, which is really unhealthy. I mean, okay, on occasion, but this is a lifestyle for a lot of people where they don't sit down and chew their food, right? So it goes beautifully, this salad, with a nice piece of barbecued meat, fish, or chicken. And if there's a meal right there, and it's, or just on its own, whatever you want. So try making that. And what I do is I don't dress the salad until I get there. I take the dressing with me, and then I dress the salad when I get there. Otherwise, the walnuts or the nuts are going to get soggy, and you don't want soggy nuts.
Well, I just had a memory flash. I'm 18. I'm working at some job site, and I'm kind of a freakazoid with my food. So, of course, I'm a bodybuilder, and I bring my own food, and I won't go near that wagon that comes around, and I'm watching all these other guys that are laborers eating this garbage and crap, and I'm sort of segregated by myself. I've got my tin of tuna, but I always would bring raw celery or raw carrots or raw plants. And it was just so simple. You just had a container of raw salad or plants. And it's just so easy. So we make nutrition so much more complicated than what it needs to be or has to be. And then we also rely on other people to do it for us instead of getting involved with it ourselves.
Right, exactly. So just keep it simple. Simple and elegant. That's sustainable. Simple and elegant is sustainable, and that's what we're all about, is sustainability. And there you have it. So take one of my go-to salads to your next party. Everybody's going to love it.
And don't eat it on the way.
Yeah,
okay, right. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Aubrey DeGray. Dr. DeGray is a biomedical gerontologist based in Cambridge, United Kingdom. He received a BA and a PhD from University of Cambridge. He is the Chief Science Officer of SENS Research Foundation and Editor-in-Chief of the Rejuvenation Research. And he focuses on intervention in aging. So he's quite the character.
Very unusual dude, and strikingly so. He looks kind of unique. And that makes it all the more intriguing from my point of view. And I also love the fact that reminds me of Dirk Pearson, who was a brainiac and had the super high score out of MIT and wrote a classic book. The name doesn't come to me offhand. Life Extension, I think that was the name of the book, something like that. And he was like dressed in leathers and looks like the opposite of the typical tenured professor at university. But see, looks don't tell you anything. Today especially, you could be the ultimate Einstein brainiac genius. But when it comes to personal hygiene or the clothes you wear or the hairstyle, that is absolutely irrelevant. And that's what I love, is that today we're getting away from these stereotypes and that you should never judge a book by its cover when it comes down to human brilliance and insight.
Well, don't judge a book by its cover. That's what they mean, right? He says that the world's most important problem is people get sick and die. That's the most important problem. So, well, everything dies, doesn't it? Or, well, maybe not. It's a jellyfish. There's a jellyfish that doesn't. But he says aging is an accumulation of damage in the body, even starting before you were born. So I guess it depends on your parents, what they were doing. And what he likes to do, he's interested mostly in developing new medicines for aging. And I really like the fact, because we've done this ourselves, is he uses the analogy of a car. That's why there's so many really well-preserved antique cars today, is because the person that owns them uses the application of prevention. They take really good care of their antique cars. And so we are like a car. We have to take really good care of ourselves in order to be able to survive the wear and tear of the rubber hitting the road, right?
Well, he just made it, you know, so simple to understand. People who look after their cars and take it to the extraordinary attention level, like they're mad about their cars. They're insane. They do unbelievable amounts of work to sustain and maintain the quality of their car. And so those cars absolutely last longer than all of the other cars. And so he's just using the simple analogy. If you take care of yourself like that individual, which very few people do or know how to do or believe it's even important to do, if you do that work, you get this amazing outcome, but it's not until the end of your life. You don't get it today or last night. It's like 20, 40, 80 years from now. That's where it all sort of comes to value.
Well, I was a little disappointed when you asked him about the 7 stages of aging, and he said he didn't want to talk about this on that interview. And I'm just like, bummer, man. I was all excited to hear it because I might not go to his website. I might not read his book. That's what I wanted to do in the interview. So that I was disappointed with.
If anyone wants to know those on our webpage on him, of course, we have a webpage on every guest. Just click the TED Talk below that, and then that's when he gets into that explanation.
Okay, perfect. And then he said, which is very interesting for us, he says, there is nothing that we can do to prevent. He says, because breathing makes free radicals. So it's all about the breathing, what you breathe in. He says, we have to wait until they develop therapies. I mean, of course, breathing makes free radicals. However, what we do and what we teach is prevention. So there's a little, you know, different school of thought there. And he also admitted that he's not doing what he needs to do, nor does he really care. But he's honest, which we like about that, right?
Absolutely. And we honor the fact that individuals have the freedom to choose their path. You know, whose life is it anyway? That's the question. Whose life? Do I live for the state or do I live for myself? And what are the choices I'm going to make? But if you study logic and use reason to guide you, ultimately you'll have to conclude that it's better to live well than not. It's better to be free of disease and degeneration than not, right? That's just logical. And then you have to connect the dots and say, okay, if I do this, this will happen, or if I do this way. So you come to a path, a crossroads. If I choose the right way, then I'm going to, which might be more difficult and requires more discipline, and I have to have more foresight, rather, versus the short-term value of the instant gratification and pleasure. We make these decisions every day.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure glad you got him on. You've been getting some really fantastic interviews, Corey. Thank you, Dr. Audrey DeGray. We really appreciate your interview. And everybody get on that TED Talk. Click on Dr. DeGray's bio and take a look at that TED Talk for the 7 stages of aging.
Right on. So what's your hot topic?
My hot topic is rest, relaxation, and sleep. And we've talked about this many, many times, and even Paracelsus says this, man is ill because he is never still. And I tell you, we know a lot of people that just, I mean, I run around a lot. You said to me the other day, boy, you have a hectic lifestyle. I do get a lot of rest, but I'm going here and there and here and there and here and there, running around all over the place. But it's very important to relax. Now, what is relaxation? Relaxation, it says in the dictionary, is relief from bodily or mental work, effort, an activity or recreation that provides such relief, diversion, or entertainment, loosening or slackening. So I just think it could be anything, you know, like you play ping pong. Now, is that relaxation for you, Corey, playing ping pong?
To some degree, although it does create excitement and a lot of humor. You know, the first thing that flashed into my mind just now when you're talking about relaxation is some guy who's got a garage and he loves tinkering on his car. It's like one of these old antique cars. And he's under the car and he's looking up into the engine and he's tinkering about and he's just doing it at a snail's pace. He's absolutely not in a hurry. He's actually really kind of enjoying what he's doing. Now, he might do a little bit of exertion. It might be a little bit uncomfortable at some points, but overall, when he walks away from that event, it's called downtime, as opposed to maybe he's super exhausted from his regular work, or maybe he's a professional athlete and he just gets wiped out playing the game. So now he needs to find a way to do something that's purely enjoyable, but also very calming to the system, to the soul, to the mind, and to the body.
Right. Relaxation could be going for a nice slow walk in the woods or by the ocean or by a lake or having a nice cup of tea sitting outside in the sun, but which is different then rest. Rest is actually the relief or freedom, especially from anything that worries, wearies, disrupts you. Tranquility, right? Having a good rest. So no exertion. So to me, rest is actually being horizontal, because there's something about being horizontal and putting your feet up, not doing anything at all, just laying there or putting your feet up and watching a program, watching a TED Talk, watching a cartoon, whatever it is that you like to do. Not moving is rest. So what do you think of that, Dr. C?
Well, I'm thinking of the soldier who just got wounded and really wants to get back into the action, but the doctor says, no, you have to stay and rest. You need bed rest, because if you go back out into the field, you're not going to heal completely. So the doctors are really big on this bed rest thing. When a woman got pregnant in the old days, she was required to have a lot of rest, especially if she had any complications that were going to interfere with the natural process of delivering her baby. So bed rest is absolute, maybe not to the extreme like in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original one,
yeah,
where the grandparents were in the bed. They never left the bed. You
like
can take
me.
That to the extreme. These things can all be taken to the extreme.
Exactly.
I think it's part of balance, right?
But we're talking about people who have an active lifestyle. And rest is just as important as activity, as movement and exercise. You've got to rest your body. You've got to recharge your batteries. You absolutely have to. It's like Lisa. She's a dance teacher. She owns a studio here. She's 28 years old. She's absolutely a divine, beautiful dancer. She just choreographed for Beauty and the Beast, and then she put on her own show. And I'm supposed to be working with them because I'm choreographing a routine for her for Dancing with the Stars. And she says, I'm just so tired. And I said, well, it's not a wonder. The last month you've been running on cortisol. Now is the time to rest. Right? Even though she's got lots of energy and she's only 28, you know, you got to think ahead because you're only one person.
What about resting between sets? There's another example
yes.
of rest. You have mm-hmm. got to stop. Like, that's what you do. You like a set of squats or when I throw the hammer, you know, stress is very high. It's very intense. And so what you do is in order to recover, you have to rest. You have to not necessarily sit down, though. In the gym, a lot of people like sit down between sets, and we don't advocate that. We recommend that you walk around, go to a hydration station, wait about a minute before you do your second set, because that form of rest actually facilitates better recovery and a better response in terms of performance for the second set than if you just sat down and did nothing and pooled waste inside your body.
Exactly. And then we always advocate that you should sip on water or an electrolyte in between each set to stay well hydrated, so you don't cramp up, which is when I work with people, they just go, wow, nobody's ever told me that before, that I get up and walk around and I have a drink of water and I stretch in between each set. That's what I do. So I don't do the long stretch after. That's a whole different program for me, but that's a whole new concept.
Think of a surgeon who's overworked. They need to rest. Think of a chemist. Think of a physicist. Think of a mathematician that's working on some, you know, super sophisticated formula, whether it's a Star Trek episode and they're trying to find a cure for some viral infection and they're just working overtime and driving themselves to the point of complete and absolute exhaustion, they need to rest. That to me is whatever it is you're doing that's causing the depletion, causing the fatigue, causing the overproduction of neurotransmitters in the brain that are kind of catabolic and wasting you. You have to stop and then bring the system back to normal. That's homeostasis. When it becomes normalized again through the rest, whatever that means to you, then you can go back and do it again even better.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself, Dr. Holly. So just keep that in mind for yourself. And, I mean, let's say you're in a computer and a little room all the time and you're not really doing a lot of activity, but you have mental fatigue. Get up, go out, take a walk around the block, just change your environment even, and drink water. Because sometimes if you can be in front of that computer, you can be in front of that for hours and not even realize that you haven't eaten anything, and then all of a sudden you're getting this mental fatigue, and then you look at the clock and you go, wow, it's been 4 hours since I had anything to eat. No wonder I'm starting to dwindle away here, and my mental alertness is not as acute. So what you got to do is get up and move. And have a bite to eat, not too much, and just get some fresh air. I think fresh air is really a big one for a lot of people because we don't get enough fresh air. You have to go out into the fresh air. And I'm not talking about going for a run downtown either, right? anyway, that's my hot topic.
Yes, and as a concluding statement, think of this. For those of our listeners who are religious, God created the world in 6 days, so what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. So for those of you out there that sort of follow that line of thinking, even the big guy in the sky has to take a rest, right? And then the Sabbath day, and a lot of religions emphasize this day of rest when you're not allowed to work. You don't need religion to come up with the same conclusion, but regardless of whether you are using that or not, the idea is that you can only sustain so much effort for so long. And if you do not rest the ox when it's treading out the corn, then it'll collapse. It'll fall down and die. So it's just straight up basic common sense.
Yeah, no kidding. Great.
Excellent. So what's your final word?
My final word is by Sigmund Freud. Flowers are restful to look at. They have neither emotions nor conflicts.